Yes, good morning to you all this morning. May God bless you as you listen to His Word this morning. I would like to speak some on the bondage of the children of Israel. We had talked the last few days about how that man is taken into bondage by sin. And there's a beautiful parallel in what God has woven, the golden thread that God has woven in this picture here of God's chosen people, and how He delivered them and how He took them through the wilderness and took them through the Red Sea and later on took them through the Jordan and caused them to prosper in the promised land. I would like to talk here this morning on the bondages that the children of Israel found themselves in. Starting here at Exodus 1, verse 8, it says, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. The former king had known Joseph and was kind and merciful to the children of Israel because of the favor that Joseph had won with him." These were Joseph's kin and relatives. And so there was much favor for the children of Israel in the beginning when they were in Egypt. "And he said unto his people, Behold, the children," or the people of the children of Israel, "are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they grieved, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with harshness. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with harshness." So here we have the children of Israel, and they find themselves as slaves. They find themselves no longer having favor with the king. Their ancestor Joseph is in his grave. There's a new king. Somehow, without really realizing what had happened, they find themselves in some tremendous bondage. And so I feel like the parallel here with our lives is that when we're born, many of us have happy memories of childhood. At least in some ways or another, we have, you know, some beautiful memories of growing up. And so, you know, as we're babies, our mothers fed us and clothed us and parents clothed us and so on, and we had favor and our needs were all met. And then somehow, without really realizing when it happened or how it happened, somehow slowly we find ourselves no longer as innocent. And we find ourselves slipping into sin here and there as we grow up, as we exit out of that innocent childhood into, you know, as we're entering into adulthood, our consciences is becoming more and more alive, and we realize that there's things that we're doing that we're messing up. And so the first thing that we try to do is to cover those things up by doing good works and good deeds and trying to be extra good and trying to find a way to do better, because we realize that the bondage we have gotten ourselves into is not a pleasant place to be. We find that guilt is not a pleasant feeling. Guilt is something that God has put within each individual. It's the conscience that is screaming out against wrong things that an individual does, and that comes out through guilt. And that guilt keeps growing. The more we do wrong, the more that pile of guilt does grow and becomes a burden on our back. And then the more we slip up, then there's discouragement because of the things that we do wrong. And then from that discouragement comes condemnation, and we start to beat ourselves or condemn ourselves or scold ourselves for the things that we have gotten into. And in many ways, that's the picture of the Egyptian slave masters, as they would whip their slaves under them and oppress them and make them do hard labor. I understand that at first, when they began to use them as slaves, I guess originally because of the food that was scarce in Egypt, I take it that they sold everything that they had in order to buy food, the food that Joseph had stored up in his storehouses as the 7-year famine had went on. And I understand it that basically the people in the end then sold themselves to Pharaoh in order to buy food, and that's how they officially, as I understand it, they officially became slaves. But that wasn't all that bad in the beginning. It was only when the Egyptians started to oppress them that it became really miserable. And that, the Bible says in Romans, that that we're all sinners sold under sin, meaning that by the curse of what happened in the Garden of Eden, we have sold ourselves to sin. We have sold ourselves to that bondage. And so that's how we, that's the parallel there with how the Israelites were. They were a free people in the beginning, but they got themselves into this ownership of a cruel taskmaster. And at first he isn't very cruel, but as he, as we yield and give in to him, he will reveal his fangs. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing that will reveal himself for who he is. And that's how it is in our lives. The sin is a cruel taskmaster. And at first it seems sort of innocent. At first it seems like we have no other choice, but then as time goes on, we find ourselves in some deep grips and bondages, things that we are unable to overcome and come out of. And so we find ourselves trying to overcome this bad habit or whatever it is, the sin that we have gotten ourselves into. I talked to a man here recently, and I asked him if he has experienced the forgiveness of sins. And this was his answer. He said that he is gathering grace. And because it's grace, it's by grace that we're saved through faith. And then I asked him if if the grace is what's going to cover his sins. And he said, yes, he believes so. And so I just asked him if he, you know, if he feels like his grace that he gathered is enough to cover. And he said he's still working on it. And so anyway, I was just encouraging him that, you know, basically the picture there was that we have this big pile of sins that we have committed, and then we try to gather, maybe in that situation, gather grace to cover it. And I said it would be quite a disappointment if we would get to heaven's gates and discover that most of our sins have been covered by grace, but there's this one corner sticking out that is not, and that would then be our doom or our end. So I would just like to, the reason for me to point that out is it's a very common thought that one has to work for his salvation, meaning that one has to do good deeds to overcome what the bad deeds had done. In a sense, it's like a scale where you have your good works on one side and your bad works on the other side, and you try to do good things until the scale is offset and you enter into grace and enter into favor with God. And what that really is this, is a picture of this, because someone doing that will not have the peace of God, and he'll be often frustrated, and he'll have this burden of sin that he's carrying around, and guilt and condemnation on his back, and what that brings is frustration. And so therefore you're going to be losing, you're going to be, you know, slipping up, you're going to be having moments of anger, and these things are going to come out, and then soon you're in the middle of trying to do a good deed, and maybe this anger comes out, and it just kind of spoils everything. And then we quick try to cover that up with more good things. Maybe we hurt someone with our anger, and then we try to be nice to them to cover it up. And it just becomes a cycle, an endless cycle of oppression. And that's how it was with the children of Israel. They were made to do all kinds of good things for the Egyptians, and yet it was an endless cycle of never being enough. They could never quite reach acceptance. Always just had to work and work and work, an endless, exhausting cycle of work, and never really coming to a place where they actually pleased their masters. Their masters were always demanding more, no matter how hard they worked, never giving that peace that they so desired for, that rest. And so their groanings went up, and there was a cry coming from their hearts, and they were continually crying out for deliverance. They had no idea how it would be, how it would come to pass. They had, all they knew is they were miserable, that's all. They didn't know how to get out of the situation. The only thing that stuck in their minds, maybe way back, is that, well, if only I could do enough, if only I could work hard enough, if only I could be good enough, I might be able to win favor by these people. And they, you know, would then maybe promote me, and maybe I would not have to work so hard and get out of this. But if you'll notice on the other end, on the Egyptians' end, it says, come on, Exodus 1 verse 10, come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when they fall out in a war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so, get them up out of the land. So, and then they set over them taskmasters. And so, that's how the the master of sin is Satan, and Satan, his goal is to keep us oppressed and keep us from the light and keep us from deliverance. It says here that so they get them up out of the land. It says that maybe someone, some other country will come and join them up with the Israelites and help them out, and they'll no longer be our slaves. So that's how Satan is. The more we try to break free, the harder he's going to oppress us, and there's just no way that we're going to outpower Satan. There's just no way. We might as well, accept that. Egypt was the world's superpower over that time, and there was just no way that these poor Israelites with no weapons and no powerful things could overcome the Egyptians. The harder they tried, the more the Egyptians would oppress them. So I would like to continue about this thought tomorrow. God be with you today. If you have any comments, you can leave a message by pressing 099 and then following the instructions. There'll be a few other buttons to press, but you start out by pressing 099 and then follow the instructions. God bless you.